Blog Talk Radio.
What they want. Okay. Ooh, wow. It has been a busy day today. February 17th, 2011, Washington, D.C., the United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Had a little technical difficulty with Skype. Problem's been worked out. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's get down to it. Right down to what's going on in Wisconsin. It seems that some Democrats, a lot of Democrats, have been following what's been going on in other countries like Greece, for example, and in jolly old England, where both countries, Greece has pretty much gone bankrupt, and England, they're having a big, they were having a serious budget problem as well. And they wanted to cut back a little because they simply could not afford to give away the store anymore. They couldn't. They just couldn't do it. And so now here in the United States, we find ourselves in similar circumstances. Didn't Glenn Beck call it just right? Didn't he say this was going to happen? I mean, he called it right on the head. And a lot of people did. So, as four game wardens, stand guard with protesters, hundreds deep, while they crushed into the corridors of the governor's office, screaming, come out, wherever you are. While behind closed doors, Scott Walker, Republican, who's been the governor for just about 6 weeks, calmly described his intent to forge ahead with the plans that he had set off, this unfortunate, ugly scene. What he wants is to require public workers to pay more for their own health insurance and into their own pensions. Wow. Imagine that, effectively cutting the take-home pay of many by around 7%. He also wants to weaken most public sector unions by sharply curtailing their collective bargaining rights. And that would limit talks to the subject of simple wages, basic wages. Mr. Walker said he had no other options because the state of Wisconsin, the great state of Wisconsin, a beautiful state, neighboring my state of Illinois, is running a deficit of $137 million. in its current state budget, and with the prospect of a $3.6 billion hole in the coming 2 years. Walker said, and I quote, "For us, it's simple," end quote. Walker, whose family home is currently being surrounded by angry workers, that this week prompted the police to close the street. He said, "We're broke. Broke." For months, state and local officials around the country have tackled their budget problems by attempting to impose austerity measures. And events in Wisconsin this week, though, you know, they're a sign of something new. No more apologies, no half measures. Given the dire straits of budgets around the country, other state leaders may take similar drastic steps, and I really do appreciate it if they do. You know, we're broke. And I know it may be difficult for some folks to appreciate, but we're broke. We don't have any money. We're broke. So, a phrase came to mind, and I'm going to tell you about it in just a minute. Now, I'm sure we're going to hear more from the other states where Republican governors are trying to cut back, save money, stop giving away the store. What are these folks in Wisconsin and other states that are going broke, what are they going to do when there's absolutely no more money? Will there be riots and will there be a revolution? Well, I mean, what happens when there's no more money to pass out? I think it's quite possible that if the governor of Wisconsin is successful, a lot of other Republican governors will emulate his success. Yeah, I think so too. Now, these teachers and other city workers, mostly teachers, well, the schools are closed on Wednesday and Thursday. Many employees, well, they called in sick so they can help lobby. They weren't sick at all. Thousands of teachers, state workers, and students filled a square around the Capitol chanting, "Kill the bill," and waving signs. Some of the signs were likening Governor Walker to a dictator and demanding his recall. And for what? Because the great state of Wisconsin, the dairy state, is broke. All of these handouts and alliances that were forged when we were once the land of plenty have drained the coffers. There's no more money to pass out for absolutely doing absolutely nothing. But, and you know what? And like I said, a phrase came to mind from, well, he wasn't a great president. He wasn't all that good. He was an adequate president. And so when I heard about all of this, and I watch on Fox News, Fair and Balanced, We Report, You Decide, I watched it and it just hit me. And here it is right here. So take a listen to this.
"I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. Finally, whether you are citizens of America or citizens of the world, ask of us here the same high standards of strength and sacrifice which we ask of you.
So, what happened? What happened to those days when we challenged ourselves, when America was about excellence, when America was about achievement, when America was about doing the right thing, when America was about all about being American? What happened? What has gone wrong? So now you have folks in Wisconsin, hundreds of folks, thousands maybe, not asking what they can do for their country, not asking what they can do for the great state of Wisconsin, but no, asking what can be done for me? What can you do for me? Indeed, Barry, our president of the United States of America, wasn't he supposed to preside over something above all of this? And yet, we find that he's the architect of all of this selfishness and mischief. I'm strongly beginning to believe that this guy is the fucking Antichrist. And I'm sorry. I apologize for my language. This guy, since this guy has come into office, all hell has broken loose, not just here in the United States of America, but all over the world. Is it a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that all hell is breaking loose all over the world, and now it's come to America, and now we have Barack Hussein Obama stoking the fires of what's happening in Wisconsin by stating that he believed that what's going on in Wisconsin is an attack on unions? Since when does the president of the United States even get involved in these things, local disputes like this? Is this the hope and the change you voted for? President Kennedy, who was a scoundrel of the first order, he could throw down a good speech. And you know what? I watched this speech on YouTube earlier. That's what I got the cut from. I watched this speech, and he wasn't using a teleprompter. He had some notes on that fine podium he was using. And he flipped a page here or two, and mostly he looked out at the audience as he spoke. Wasn't looking to his left and then to his right to read the text. I got a feeling that he had that speech pretty well memorized. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but for what you can do for your country. These folks in Wisconsin, and I fear in other places soon, coming soon, are asking, no, what can you do for me? And hell, they're not even from Chicago. Whereas we know, the motto is, where's mine and what's in it for me? I could understand this sort of thing happening in Chicago. I really can, because Chicago is a serious union town. But Wisconsin, they are broke. Illinois is broke. Most of the Midwest, broke. Hell, most of the country, broke. And now we find out that when you have a guy like Governor Scott Walker who dares to speak the truth about the dire fiscal challenges Americans face at all levels of government, and daring to commit themselves to solutions that will liberate our economy and help put our citizens on the path to prosperity, I tell you what, John Boehner had it right. John Boehner said, I'm disappointed that instead of providing similar leadership from the White House, the president has chosen to attack leaders such as Governor Walker, who are listening to the people and confronting problems that have been neglected for years at the expense of jobs and economic growth. So the president of the United States is all involved. I'm not surprised. There's more. Now, the GOP speaker was referring specifically to an interview President Obama gave on Wednesday to Milwaukee television, in which he called the new law, and I quote, assault on unions, end quote. What's more, the Wisconsin chapter of the president's political arm within the Democratic National Convention, DNC, worked to promote rallies against the new law. So here we have the leader of the free world, the president of the United States of America, working behind the scenes to prevent a governor from doing his job and taking care of an elected official, an elected governor, from doing his job to take care of his state. Governor Walker is not some evil Svengali. He's not some evil bad guy trying to bring down the government or destroy the economic system like some other president. No. He wants to bring Wisconsin from the brink of insolvency. And in so doing, if he has to make some cuts here or there, like with unions, if he has to do that, then that's what he's going to do. Why would the president of the United States get involved in that? We have a president that is incompetent. We have a president who has no political skill when it comes to dealing with this great nation. Yes, he knows how to get elected, obviously. Yes, he can throw out a good speech. He's charming. He looks pretty good in a suit. But he's an empty suit. The guy has no leadership skills. I've said it 100 times or more. And this is coming, I'll say this in an unbiased fashion. He is not a leader. I was trained by leaders. Colonel Wesley Fox, Medal of Honor recipient. Trained under him. I trained under Sergeant Major Nye, who just passed away a couple of weeks ago. Medal of Honor recipient. I trained with the greatest warriors of our time. I know what a leader is. Barack Obama is no leader. And yes, I'm talking about Marines, great warriors who were tested in battle, but leadership is leadership. Barack Obama should not be getting involved in these things. And if he does, he should be at least asking all parties to come together and not taking one side over the other. Speaker Boehner called on Obama to have the DNC stand down in Wisconsin. I doubt if he will. The White House has even unleashed the Democratic National Committee to spread disinformation and confusion in Wisconsin regarding the governor's courageous actions. This coming from John Boehner. He said, I urge the president to order the DNC to suspend these tactics. As Boehner alluded to in his statement, other Republican governors like Chris Christie in New Jersey and John, oh, I can't pronounce John's last name, K-A-S-I-C-H, in Ohio, among others, have sought labor reforms to address state pension liabilities and other budget outlays. What is going to happen, folks, when we run out of money? What will happen if Wisconsin simply ran out of money? What kind of riots would we see then? Now, while union leaders in Wisconsin set up makeshift offices in the Capitol, they distributed flyers and they were planning vigils and what's called teach-outs. National officials from more than a dozen unions pledged millions of dollars as well as phone banks and volunteers to block such efforts in Wisconsin and elsewhere. Quote, we view the events in Wisconsin as one of the worst attacks on workers' rights and their voices in the workplace that we've ever seen. Why don't they get it? Why don't they get it? We don't have any money. I mean, come on. How hard could this be? It's not like, you know, it's a big company. Like Wisconsin is this big company that's hoarding all of this cash and deciding that they're not going to share it with the teachers' union, city and state workers. Walker's saying that, in effect, we're broke. We're going to have to rearrange some things. We're going to have to get our fiscal house in order, and that means everybody making sacrifices. What? How hard could this be? I mean, come on. Now, Mr. Walker would require state employees to contribute 5.8% of their pay to their own pensions. Now, it's true, most pay far less. He'd also require state employees to pay at least 12.6% of health care premiums. Most pay about 6%. Now, the average salary of a Wisconsin state worker is $48,348. To the average citizen, the middle class, working class families, they're paying a whole lot more right now. As recently as Wednesday morning, Mr. Walker spoke with Governor Kasich. I'm gonna say that's how you pronounce his name, of Ohio, to commiserate a bit. Obviously, there's a lot of protest out there, but in the end, it's the right thing to do, Mr. Walker said. We didn't get elected to worry about politics. I hope that Governor Walker holds firm and does not give in to this thuggery, this union thuggery. Please do not give in, because I tell you what, if Walker gives in, what's going to happen here is that it's going to be a victory for unions everywhere, and it'll simply speed up the process of the United States of America going into a deep and probably a deep spiral for which we may not recover. Now, anyone who doubts, anyone, that the trend towards socialism is pushing America toward ruin, well, they should examine the historical tables President Obama published Monday, along with his $3.7 trillion budget. In fiscal year 2011, according to these tables, the Department of Health and Human Services will spend $909.7 billion in fiscal $907 billion. In fiscal year 1965, the entire federal government spent $118.228 billion. Let me be clear here. The Department of Human Health and Human Services in 2011 will spend $909.7 billion. In 1965, the entire federal government spent $118.228 billion. What about inflation? Well, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics inflation calculator, $118.228 billion in 1965 dollars equals $822.6 billion in 2010 dollars. In real terms, $909.7 billion Health and Human Services is spending this year is about $87.1 billion more than the entire federal government spent in 1965. That's just Health and Human Services. What the hell do they do to spend all that money? In 1965 was a key year in the advancement of socialism in the United States of America. From 1776 until 1965, Americans generally did not rely on the federal government for health care, unless they served in the military or worked in some other capacity for the federal government. But in 1965, President LBJ and the Democratic Congress enacted two massive federal entitlement programs. Medicare was one, and then Medicaid. And those two, well, they fundamentally, here's the word again, altered the relationship between Americans and the federal government by making tens of millions dependent on the government for health care. What's that saying? The road to hell or financial ruin for a great nation is paved with good intentions. I mean, really. Thanks, LBJ. Now, prior to 1937, the Supreme Court, well, they correctly understood the Constitution to deny the federal government, any power to create and operate the social welfare programs. The Constitution held in no such enumerated power. And the 10th Amendment left powers not enumerated to the states. And to whom? The people, us, you and me. From George Washington's administration to Franklin Roosevelt's, Americans took care of themselves and their own communities without resorting to federal handouts. Did you hear what I just said? From George Washington to FDR, in between, took care of themselves. But FDR, well, consummate politician that he was, I respect him for, sought to change what he believed was an unrealistic reliance on families in American life. Wasn't he like this really super rich dude that comes from his rich family? Yeah. He used, does this remind you of anything? He used the crisis of the Great Depression to pass the Social Security Act, the crisis. He only acts in a crisis. Obama only did certain things because there was a crisis situation. So he used the crisis of the Great Depression to pass the Social Security Act of 1935, compelling Americans to pay a payroll tax in return for the promise of a federal old age pension. This was blatantly unconstitutional, of course, but that didn't stop him. That same year, in Railroad Retirement Board versus Alton, the Supreme Court had justly slapped down a law mandating what amounted to a Social Security program for the railroad industry alone. FDR, well, he attempted to defend the railroad pension laws as a legitimate regulation of interstate commerce. There's that phrase or group of words, interstate commerce. We'll get back to that. Justifiably, under the Commerce Clause, the same argument that the Obama administration has used to defend the individual mandate in Obamacare. The court, no, they weren't buying it. They weren't going for it. They suggested that if the federal government could mandate a federal pension for railroad workers, well, the next thing it would do, well, it would mandate health care. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they said. The question presents itself whether the fostering of a contented mind on the part of an employee or legislation of this type is, in any just sense, a regulation of interstate transportation, the court said, answering FDR's argument. So, here we have history repeating itself with the Interstate Commerce Clause and the individual mandate. Will the court rule in a similar fashion as it did in 1935? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. When Social Security went to the court in 1937, FDR used a different strategy. Smart as he was, he argued that Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 of the Constitution, which gave Congress the power to levy taxes to provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, meant the federal government could do virtually anything it deemed in the general welfare of Americans, even if it was otherwise outside the scope of the Constitution's other enumerated powers. FDR was FDR's interpretation of the General Welfare Clause effectively rendered the rest of the Constitution meaningless. So to persuade the court that ruled against him in the railroad clause or railroad case to rule for him in the Social Security case, FDR proposed, yeah, the Judicial Reorganization Act that would allow him to pack the court by appointing an additional justice for each sitting justice who had reached the age of 70. And not retired. Faced with a potential Democratic takeover of the court and thus a federal government controlled entirely by FDR's allies, Republican Chief Justice Charles Evan Hughes and Associate Justice Owen J. Roberts flip-flopped from their position in the railroad case. They quietly voted in favor of Social Security and took the steam off FDR's court packing plan. Well, will history repeat itself? Now, that year, federal spending was 8.6% of gross domestic product. Here, and when I say that we live in very interesting times, and I've said that many times, this is exactly what I mean. History will be made one way or the other. We have what I consider to be a historic uprising in Wisconsin. An uprising that I believe will be repeated in other states. Certainly, they'll be repeated. The uprising in Wisconsin is taken directly from the playbook in Greece and in the UK. Now, what we have is a society that's selfish, and it's all about me. What can you do for me? What can you give me? What can I get for free? We've seen it. We've seen it over the last 20, 30 years. Frivolous lawsuits. A woman has a hot cup of coffee, and instead of allowing the coffee to cool as she drives through the McDonald's drive-thru, she takes a sip and burns her tongue or her mouth or whatever the hell she burns. Automatically, it's the fault of Burger King or McDonald's or whomever for brewing the coffee too hot and perhaps not warning her that the coffee was hot. So it's not her fault. So she sues Burger King or McDonald's, figuring that they'd settle and she'd get something for her, quote, pain and suffering, end quote. Something virtually for nothing. And so it goes here in the United States of America, all over America. It's all about me. What can you do for me? What can you give me? What's in it for me? Me, 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 and more me. And unions are no different. You know, I grew up in a household where I would watch commercial. Look for the union label when you are buying a coat, dress, or hat, or something like that. I grew up watching movies like Fist with Sylvester Stallone and Hoffa. Like Norma Ray. All kinds of movies where there were unions. And I admired unions, mostly because of the movies I watched as a kid. They were fighting for justice. And those evil, evil employers. Don't give up your day job. Okay, thank you. Those evil, evil employers were treating those poor workers so bad. All they wanted was a clean place to work. And a decent wage and decent working hours, clean air to breathe, maybe a lunch break every now and then. But now it's different. They want a two-hour lunch. They want not only a decent wage, but they want all sorts of extra stuff. If the company's making, you know, profits, they want a share of those profits too. Or they'll stop working, they'll strike. They'll go home sick, they'll call in sick. They want health care provided. Cadillac plans. The best health care. And they don't want to pay for it. No. No. They want the company to pay most, if not all of it. And money out of their paychecks to go into a pension plan? Oh, well, that's absurd. No, company. We'll work for you. Not only will you pay us top dollar, but you'll pay for our health care and our pension plans and anything else, or we won't work. We'll strike. So now the tables have turned from the days of Normal Ray and the union label and all of that to holding the company hostage now. But America, I can carry a tune. It just, I could do better. But in, okay. Now it's gotten to the point where it's not about just doing a good job and earning a decent living and making a decent wage and all of that and being proud of the work you do. It's what's in it for me, and it's where's mine. And hell, they're not even in Illinois. They're not even in Chicago. So now, where's mine and what's in it for me has left Mike Royko's Chicago Sun-Times, and he moved over to the Chicago Tribune. No, it didn't. It left Chicago. Where's mine and what's in it for me is now nationwide. Everybody wants something for nothing. As much as they can get. Moving on. The damage that Obama has done, by Dick Morris. The mainstream media does not cover the full extent of the damage the Obama administration has inflicted on this country. Even Fox News often doesn't have the time to go into sufficient depth and explain what's happening. So here we have the average price of a gallon of gas in the United States in January 2009. It was $1.83, still too high for me. Today it is $3. Well, it's $3.104. dollars today, the average. That's a 69.6% upswing. Crude oil per barrel in January 2009, it was $43.48. Today, it is $99.02. That's 127.7%. Gold. In January 2009, it was $853.25. Today, and thank God for this, because I got some gold in here. It is $1,369.50, and that's the only thing I can thank President Obama for. 60.5%. Corn, yellow, Central Illinois. January 2009, $3.56. Today, $6.33, 78.1% markup. Soybeans, 2009, $13.37. Today it's $35.39, 164.7% markup. Unemployment rate overall, January 2009, 7.6%. Today, 9.4%. And some say it's even higher than that if you factor in all the folks who have stopped looking for work. Some say it's over 10%. Some say it's over 15%. But officially, 9.4%. That is a 23.7% markup. Unemployment rate for black folk, it's broken down that way. January 2009, 12.6%. Today, 15.8%, 25% markup. Number of unemployed, 2009, January, 11,616,000. Today, 14,485,000, 24.7%. Number of federal employees, military, 2,779,000. Today, 2,840,000, 2.2%, not bad. Real median household income, January 2009, $50,000, $50,112. Tonight, today, it's $49,777. That's minus 7.7%. I think you kind of get the picture here. I can go on and on. I got a long, 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 long list. The point of this whole thing is take the last item in the list. National debt in trillions. In 2009, the national debt was $10,627,000,000. Today it is $14 trillion and counting, 0.052, 32.2%. So just take the last item. In the last 2 years, we have accumulated national debt at a rate of more than, wait for it, 27 times as fast as during the rest of our entire nation's history. May I please repeat that? In the last 2 years, we have accumulated national debt at a rate more than 27 times as fast as during the rest of our entire nation's history. Metaphorically speaking, if you're driving in the right lane doing 65 miles an hour and a car rockets past you in the left lane 27 times faster, it would be doing 1,755 miles an hour. That's fast. Folks, what we have here is a disaster, and it's getting even worse. And what concerns me more than anything else right now is that we have a president of the United States who promised a different kind of politics. It wasn't supposed to be this way. How's that hope and that change working out for you right now? Our president is presiding over a world that is literally falling apart, a country that is falling apart.
he does not unite anybody. I tell you what, I am strong. I mean, I don't consider myself to be a biblical scholar. I am a simple country boy, a student of revelations and history, a student. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not crazy. I mean, I don't live in a trailer. I mean, I would, but I don't. With a whole bunch of satellite dishes, the big 10-foot dishes, you know, all holed up and everything blacked out in my trailer. I don't live like that. I mean, it would be attractive to do so, but I don't. I'm not Ted Kaczynski. God bless him. I'm not. He was crazy. But I'm starting to think that this guy, President Barack Obama, is bad news. He's bad luck. He's like Slep Rock. He's like the bad luck Slep Rock of the world. Ever since this guy came into office, all the world has gone mad. He came into office as this rock star, cheering crowds all over the world. Some folks said he was God. Some said he was just Jesus. Some said he was brilliant. Some said that he was the savior, not only of the United States, but of the world. But what's going on? Riots go on now in Bahrain as I speak. And in other parts of Europe and the Middle East and here in America, with our president, our president stoking the fires of discontent everywhere he goes, from the beer summit, the Cambridge police incident, until now. We will reward our friends and punish our enemies. He is not the great uniter. He is the great divider. I'm starting to think, you know, I've been avoiding saying it. I've avoided it. But I can no longer avoid it. I'm starting to think that this guy really is the Antichrist. Or could it be that he's simply not a leader? He doesn't have the tools. He came in to office, swept in, as he said, just simply not having all the tools needed to do his job. Too inexperienced, not a leader. Not qualified to be the president of the United States. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little conversation I had with a close friend the other day. I spoke about one of my favorite people in black history, Jack Johnson. Well, Jack was cavorting around with Caucasian women, driving real fast after he became champion, speeding his car up and down the road, 90 miles an hour, dressing all fine, wearing a lot of jewelry, just making an ass out of himself. The establishment pretty much let him know and let the world know that that was the last time there was going to be a black president for a long, long time, and it was 48 years before there was another one. Barack Obama, for you black folks out there, he has set folks back for a long time, because I got to tell you, I certainly won't vote for another black man, not unless he's a staunch conservative. Unless his name is Herman Cain, you're done. And certainly not another Democrat. I had to go there. I had to throw the race card out there. I couldn't do. You know what? This guy's got to go. 2012 can't come fast enough. Thank you for listening. I love you. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. Good night.